Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. The poet of Psalm 84 was steeped in sorrow even while he was singing this psalm. Why? David, who was the psalmist, who was fleeing, he was not able to go up to God's congregation. He could not enter into the tabernacle at that time. He could not be in the presence of God's children. He could not go unto the place where the altar stood, where the sacrifices were slain, where the blood was shed, where the priests also went inside and came back and placed the benediction upon that congregation. Oh, he was far from God's house, fleeing, as we believe, for his son Absalom. Oh, and then it was still in his heart, my thirsty soul longs earnestly, yea, faints thy holy courts to see. Is that your portion? Is that also alive in your heart? And then in that psalm, the poet begins to declare unto God the blessedness of all those people in whose heart God has given grace. For their longing is to God's temple. The desire is to be in God's communion, even when they are far away. Oh, when he then beholds the sparrows and the swallows, that he can fly into God's house unhindered, and David has to miss it, then David grieves. Then David has sorrow. Then David sheds his tears. Oh, then he says, when God's children do receive it, they have a blessed portion. Then they may dwell in the wilderness. But then sometimes that wilderness can become a veil of rest. Then he is a pilgrim. Then he is a stranger. But he is on the way. And many times he fears he will never get there. And yet the Lord will direct and keep and guide and at last bring him home. For whenever the Lord comes over, there is communion, and that is a Bethel, a house of God. Whenever they are brought to God's house here and be with the congregation, that is then, they hope and pray for a blessing. But at last, all those people, needy and poor they may be, and afflicted and sorrowful, will yet enter into that temple that is above, and there to dwell forever and forever. And then they say, though only at thy door I wait, then no tents of sin give joy so great. But how did David now end Psalm 84? O Lord of hosts, how blessed is he who puts his trust in thee. And bridegroom and bride, this is the day that you hope to become husband and wife. And then you shall receive many wishes for all kinds of things. Health and strength and prosperity perhaps, and that you may have children, and they are all good and lawful wishes. But what is now the greatest blessing? Presently we hope to give you God's word. That is the best present that we can give. But what is now the blessing that you need? And that is now that blessed happiness that you receive that grace in God. That is a blessing that is not only for time, that is now a blessing for eternity. And about that true blessedness, we desire to speak a little. Psalm 146 has been read unto you. And verse 5 is the text. There we see, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And we find in that text true blessedness. And that sums it up. True blessedness. So who are now truly blessed? Those who have that true blessedness. But who are they? Who receive that? Have you, bridegroom and bride? Have you, congregation? Because the question comes to us all. Have we received that true blessedness from God? David had. And David testifies about it in this psalm. He says, happy is he. And then he explains it. That means blessed is he. And he makes very clear what that blessedness now is. We do not know whether this psalm was made for a special occasion. And we can easily leave that. But nevertheless, it remains true. It is fitting for all occasions. You say, why? Well, read the very first verse. It says, praise ye the Lord. The psalm also ends with that same expression, praise ye the Lord. In Hebrew, that is hallelujah. And every one of the psalms from 146 to 150 begins and ends with that same expression, praise ye the Lord. And why should we now praise the Lord? In Psalm 147 it says, praise is comely. That means it is so suitable. It is so proper. It is so fitting. That we should praise, that we should acknowledge the Lord. There are always reasons for it. But perhaps someone says, if I look at God's children, or if I hear them talk, then it is so often that sorrow seems to overwhelm them. And it is true. God's church often sighs here below. God's church often has more tears in their eyes than that they have praises on their lips. That they acknowledge the Lord for whatever he has given. God's children fall so short. And then every one of God's children who's brought to the right place will acknowledge that they do not praise the Lord as they ought to praise him. Now it is not always that way. Oh no. For the Lord is never to his people a land of outer darkness. Can be a long time. In sorrow and grief and departures even. But then there are times also when the Lord returns and that he gives them to be lifted up above all the circumstances. That they do not see the afflictions and they are not afraid of the enemies. Then the Lord makes it well at that moment because when he comes over, they experience near him, all is well. And see, then it can be that even in the night that they will praise the Lord and they will acknowledge the Lord for his goodness. If we now receive an eye upon the benefits, if we receive an eye upon the God who grants us those undeserved benefits, if we come to realize that we do not deserve the least of the Lord's considerations, oh, then indeed it behooves us to praise the Lord. And how then do we do that? Oh, then we shall confess our sins and shortcomings. But then there shall also be that desire to say, Lord, why me? That thou dost give yet those blessings even unto me. And if the Lord then gives that in the heart, oh, then they will say, praise ye the Lord. They want to say that to everyone, but also praise the Lord, O my soul. They have to stir up themselves. They cannot do that. And yet when the Lord by his Spirit gives that grace inwardly, that shall be their portion. Praise ye the Lord. And then it is not just a fleeting word, and they do not know the meaning, and they do not truly have it in their heart. No. When this is in God's children, praise ye the Lord, and praise the Lord, O my soul. Then it is their desire to express what lives in their heart, that their bosom opens up, and that they express how dear the Lord is to their soul. And then it can be sometimes that joyful meditations fill the watches of the night. Oh, congregation, then it is good to lie awake. Yes. Then it does not matter if you do not have to sleep or you cannot sleep. And perhaps you know something of that. And otherwise, ask for it, yes. Because the Lord is so worthy that you may acknowledge him. Then it is in all quietness, not always in church only. Not only when you are in the inner chamber, but it can even be in the quietness of the night that there is a quiet song in your heart and you acknowledge the Lord. And what is it then that David desires to sing about? Well, in essence, he is saying, in God alone is true happiness. In God alone, there is now that true blessedness. All earthly blessedness is but for a time at best. But it is that spiritual blessedness, that being joyful in the Lord, that acknowledging the Lord and that magnifying of him. Oh, that is now such a gracious blessing in the soul. Sweet beyond compare. The world cannot understand it. But there is a people that say there was a time, yes, that they also knew it. And they cannot maintain it. They cannot hold on to it. But they desire to be brought there once again. And if it is that way, congregation, bridegroom and bride, then you are not so soon finished praising the Lord. No. What do Paul and Silas do in Philippi? In the stocks, having been beaten and scourged, and then in the deepest dungeon, and they sing praises to the Lord. And not quietly, because the other prisoners heard it. And that's also written for a purpose. For either there was a testimony against them, or a testimony blessed unto them. Habakkuk, you read it in his prophecy, in the famine, when the stalls were empty and the trees yielded no fruit, then he still praised the Lord. Oh, then the poet of Psalms 42 says, then his praise, on his praise, even in the night, I will ponder with delight. How is that now in your life? Bridegroom and bride, has that ever been given in your heart? That there were times in your soul that you longed you could praise the Lord as he ought to be praised. And what do you then want to thank him for his marvelous goodness, for his sparing mercies, for his keeping mercies? May you say, Lord, I desire to acknowledge thee for grace that thou hast given in my heart, for sins that have been forgiven, being restored into God's communion, for that is now true blessedness. You say they are great blessings, yes. But in a sense, they belong to all God's children, because the smallest in grace, the Catechism says, is incorporated into Christ, and in him they have everything. Do they know that? No, that's something else. But even as a little child in the family is raised up and instructed and becomes a son, not when they are 20 years old, a son at birth. And so it is with God's children. But it is so profitable that the Lord would lead them and give them to grow up in that grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is then that true blessedness, as David says, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto God, unto my God, while I have any being. Congregation, then the Lord also teaches his people something. And what is that? Not to trust in man. Not to put confidence in princes. Oh, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. And why? His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. The richest, the poorest, the strongest, the weakest, the oldest and the youngest, whoever that we are, this shall become true. That we shall die. We must die because we have sinned against God. But is it then well with my soul? Is it then well for eternity? Oh, that trusting in man, David warns against it. We are so prone to trust in ourselves, or to trust in a minister or God's children, or we trust in our money, whatever it can be. And it's all in vain. There is only one in whom we ought to trust, and that is in the Lord. And instead then, David gives the remedy. He gives a medicine, so to speak. He means to say, not trusting in man, not in any man, whoever they may be, but trust now in the Lord. And then he comes to the text. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. You see what the poet now does. In this life, also in married life, days of gladness and days of sadness, yes. And here in this life, it can be that we are rich or that we are poor, that we are strong and healthy or that we are weak and that we are feeble so many times. We can have the highest rank or the meanest position. In the end, we all must die. And then the question is, do we have this true blessedness given in our heart by the Spirit of God? Happy is he which hath the God of Jacob for his help. Happy. That word happy is so comprehensive, is so rich. In the Dutch language, it has been translated with three words to try and portray something of that fullness. And then they use words like blessedness and happiness, and that it is then so exceedingly well with us. So happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his portion. And why does David now say the God of Jacob? Who was Jacob? He was the second son of Isaac and Rebekah. He was the twin son of Esau. And what happened already in Rebekah's womb? Then there was a strife. Then there was a struggle between those two sons in Rebekah's womb. And when they were about to be born, what did Jacob do? He held the heel of Esau. It indicates something of who he was. But through Rebekah and through Jacob, it was made plain by the Lord that the promise of salvation and the promise for Israel, for the land of Canaan, and that the Messiah would be born, would be coming through Jacob. Yes. And when Jacob grew up, could he trust in the Lord? He thought the Lord needed some help. And really, he wanted to help himself. Because the eldest was Esau. So the expectation was that he would receive that blessing. And then once when Esau came back from his hunting and he was weary, then Jacob uses the weariness of Esau and he sells and he gives him a pottage of lentils as long as he gets the blessing of the firstborn in turn for himself. That was Jacob. And then later on, when Isaac, the father, was old and blind and thought that he would die, he wanted to give that blessing to his oldest son, contrary to God's command. And what did Rebekah do? Child of God, she comes up with a plan to deceive her husband. And Jacob also helps along to deceive it. To deceive him. And he pretends to be Esau. And Esau was more than willing to take the blessing, even though he had sold it. So all four of them were in the wrong. But now Jacob, not only ready, he deceived his old blind father. Now, who is Jacob? A deceiver. Who was Jacob? He was a heel. He was not someone whom you could trust. And he was not someone who really trusted the Lord here. He wanted to help himself. That is now our fallen state. Are we not all like Jacob? Are we not all like Jacob? Because we have forgotten the God of our fathers. We have turned against him. And then God's children especially will have to learn that lesson. When the Lord comes in their heart with grace, they are so willing to add something, to contribute something, to do something, as if the Lord alone cannot save us. Oh, that distrust. And that unbelief is something that shall be bitter in the life of God's children. We said, who was Jacob? Oh, Isaac says now he has to flee. Because he cannot stay. Esau is going to slay his brother Jacob. And then when he had died, then he would have the blessing of the firstborn anyway. And there Jacob goes. In a dark night. He has his staff, a little cruse of oil, and for the rest nothing. And when he sleeps there in Luz, he has to use a stone for his pillow, and the night is dark. And so it is spiritually. When a people has to escape for their life, and that meant in this case he had to leave his father and mother. He had to leave the place where the altar was, where the atonements were made. And now he has to go away, and it is his own fault. He has ruined all. That is Jacob. Everything came to an end for him there. He saw no hope. And that is now the time that the Lord comes. Shall you never forget it? That is the time that the Lord comes, when it is at an end with us. Because then God set up that ladder from heaven upon the earth. And the angels were ascending and descending upon it. And then the Lord came over to that guilty, unworthy wretch that was called Jacob. And he was fleeing away. And what did the Lord now do? Now Jacob saw that ladder, came from heaven, reached the earth. That was now the connection. The Lord was teaching him. There was a way to be reconciled unto him. There was a way for sinners to come unto God. But it is through that ladder only. And that's now Christ. So the Savior was revealed unto Jacob there. And what did the Lord now promise? That he would be his help. That was the promise. You understand now, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help. There the Lord promised this unto Jacob. And then a sinner, when there is something given, something revealed of that only Savior, knows there is a way of deliverance. And that is not in themselves. For that moment Jacob had to learn that. And that was only in that ladder, in that revelation of Christ alone. Do you know that, bridegroom and bride? Do you know that, congregation? For these are the ways that the Lord teaches all his people. And then we must know this not only as a Bible history, but as an experienced reality, what the Lord applies in the heart by his Spirit. And then the life of David became a life of wandering, because he was outside of that promised land, and he fled to Paddan Aram. And did not the Lord help him to find his family? Giving him a wife, two wives, two concubines, children. And contrary to all the scheming of Laban, he became rich also. In 20 years, the Lord cared. We do not read that he spoke by words, but he helped him by his deeds. And then the Lord said to Jacob that he had to go back. And Laban pursues him. And Laban wants to smite him and bring them back, his daughters and all the cattle. But the Lord proved to be Jacob's help. Had Jacob deserved it? No. But the Lord proved and promised, made true, that he would be Jacob's help. They come to Mahanaim. And again, the Lord comes over, and that means a host. So the Lord says, a host of angels will be with you and help you, Jacob, at all places, at all times. What a blessed man, was he not, bridegroom and bride? Blessed is he, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help. He comes by Peniel. We cannot enlarge it too much, you understand. But the cattle and the wives all across that brook Jabbok. And then a man came to wrestle with Jacob. It was not in the first case Jacob wrestling with that man, but the man. That is God. He came for his justice, because it was not right between Jacob and Esau. And so he was guilty, and he would have to die. And what happened there? Then the Lord let Jacob prevail against him. You see how that can be. He had to say, what is thy name? Who art thou, Jacob? And then he owned his trespass. He owned his guilt, that he was unworthy. And the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh, so that he was halting, lame, limp, all the days of his life. But there the Lord pardoned his sins, and forgave all his iniquity, and reconciled him unto him. How did Jacob then gain that victory? By losing. And that's how it goes for God's children. It is through death that they shall receive life. God was Jacob's help. And he goes to Shechem. And then Dinah, his daughter, put a shame upon the family with her wickedness. Levi and Simeon, two brothers, full of wrath, slay all the men of Shechem. And David and Jacob was afraid. But then Jacob was kept and protected by the Lord. There was no one that touched him. And that is how it goes. Blessed, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his portion. Then he lost Joseph, his dear son, whom he thought would be the one from whom the Messiah would be born. And Jacob always had to get back the sin that he committed against his father, Isaac. He was deceived by his own sons. That coat of many colors, smeared with blood, all that was an indication that Joseph had been slain. And Jacob thought, all these things are against me. And Jacob did not think anymore that the Lord God was his help. No, not at all. And the Lord, meanwhile, had brought Joseph in Egypt. And he would make him Zaphnath-Paaneah, the provider of life and the solver of the riddles, also for Jacob. Took 20 years, yes. Does not always go so fast in the life of God's people. And then, at the end of that, in the famine, from whom did he get now the corn? From Joseph, and he did not know from whom it came. The Lord took care. The Lord was his help. And then at last, that Joseph is revealed and Jacob is given to see him and to dwell with Joseph. Oh, then truly, Jacob could say, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Oh, bridegroom and bride, can we, congregation, can we now say it? From the Lord shall come my aid, who the heaven and the earth has made. That is true blessedness. Whatever then befalls us, that is true blessedness. And you know what becomes evident then? Whose hope is in the Lord is God. Notice, his God, something happened in the life of Jacob. Because the Lord now called him Israel. That means prevailing with God. And remember, he lost. He died. He had to go under. And then the Lord gave him that victory. Then the Lord said, now thy name shall be called Israel. Because now Jacob could say, at Shechem, where he built an altar, El Elohi, Israel. God is the God of Israel. Then this was true. The Lord was his God. We can read over these few words so quickly. But that was now everything. God had become his portion. And God had become his lot. Then he was for the care of the Lord for time and for eternity. Oh, when that happens, congregation, then he is our refuge. Then he is the high tower to flee into. Then he is that safety. Then he is that city of refuge. And whenever that David was now assailed, he said, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. For when Jacob was assailed, and when Jacob was in trouble, and Jacob had ruined everything again, oh, then still the Lord was his help, and therefore it was also that his hope, his expectation, his trust was in the Lord his God. Under the shadow of thy wings, then my soul shall dwell secure. You see how blessed that man was. It says, whose hope is in the Lord his God. 4 capital letters, that is Jehovah. That is the one who is eternal in his essence, who is faithful in his promises, and who is almighty in all the performance of it. Oh, if you receive a promise of Jehovah, of the Lord, then it is a promise that shall surely be fulfilled. And you know what lies now contained in this? That is the name of the covenant. The name of the covenant God, Jehovah. And that means, very clearly, then he can be my God. He can be become my God. He shall ever remain my God, but only in that way of the covenant. And see, then we must make that separation. Because who is here now that can say that the Lord is his God? There is none by nature. God is angry with the wicked. And we are angry with God also. That's how it is. Enemies we have become. And only God can make that reconciliation. And when it pleases the Lord to uncover that, then we will be so deeply ashamed. Then we shall find out how much we have sinned against the Lord. Godly sorrow will then be our portion. And then we say, O Jacob, I stand below you, a heel, a rebel, a deceiver, one who trusts myself and no one else, and forgetting the Lord. Oh, but what a wonder. For what did Jacob now receive? You say, yes, the Lord his God. How was that? Because he was brought to that altar. He set it there at Shechem when he offered a sacrifice. And in that blood, it was shown that there was now a Savior who was sent by the Lord. And he became sin for his people. He bore the punishment. He suffered. He died. He was forsaken of his God. You could say, he lost all. And now he merited everything and gives that unto his people, unto his Jacobs, and he makes them to testify that my hope is in the Lord my God. And when the Lord is pleased to apply that bridegroom and bride, then communion is restored. Then you have a portion so rich. Perhaps you have nothing in the bank. But then you are the richest man in the whole world. And see, then the Lord becomes your portion and your inheritance. Then those who are hopeless and who are helpless will then have hope in God. And those who are then without anything for eternity, receive everything for eternity. Then they receive that hope, that refuge, that faith in God alone. Then in spite of our unfaithfulness, then he proves to be faithful because he is the God of Jacob to be your help. And then your hope is in the Lord your God. We go once more to Jacob. And then he is approaching death. And what does he then say? Oh, this comes back. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. In Genesis 49, in the midst of blessing his sons, he says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Thy salvation that thou givest me. If it were entrusted in my hands, I would have lost it, ruined it, spoiled it. And are there now such blessed people, bridegroom and bride? That is now the best, the blessed portion to have, waiting for that salvation, God's salvation. And how was he now waiting? We read that in Hebrews 11. He was leaning upon his staff. Literally, oh yes. But what does that now mean? The Lord was his staff. That everlasting covenant God. The angel which had led him, that is Christ Jesus. He was his staff, his rest, his refuge, his hope, his help, and his stay. Oh, and then, that is how he waited. That is how he died, leaning upon that staff. Bridegroom and bride, congregation, hear it then once more. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his portion, for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Amen. Let us pray.